Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, my friends. And please God, happy holidays. But I'm not so sure that they will be happy after that. And I have spent my whole life, 55 years on the air, trying to warn you about, well, what about the program is going to be about all this evening and on video. Let me explain a little bit. I had a procedure done on Friday and came out of anesthetic and went home. And it was too late to do the program, so I had David do the, I couldn't do it. I was a bit too tired, so I let him do the Sunday morning conversations, which is video. Now, he's been on there for 2 days, but I did one this Sunday, and what you were watching for is the last Sunday, and the Friday that, you know, I let him tell him to do it, because it was 2 weeks ago. It's a bit difficult. Anyway, so I put David aside now. I mean, not David, but Alan, which he gave a nice talk on Sunday on video. But now I'm going to turn it tonight, and you can see it in the morning or tomorrow night all the way through next Sunday, about something that is much more important. And I don't know how to explain this, but I came across, by accident, a statement, a little piece of a certain person who was in Hitler Germany, and his name is William Reich. And he says, we met the enemy and they are us. I've said that before and you've heard that before. The psychiatrist, his name is Wilhelm Reich, attained the medical degree in Germany and he studied psychoanalysis with Sigmund Freud. You know who he is. And he was one of Freud's favorite proteges. And in 1939, with the World War II on the horizon, he moved to the United States. And he was a little bit ahead of me. He wrote a book called Listen, Little Man, in 1946. And the book is his warning to ordinary people in all societies that they, the average man or woman, are responsible for the rapidly spreading social cancer of fascism, or whatever, ism. And he observed how the middle class and the common citizens in Germany actually welcomed their enslavement by the Nazis and saw the reappearance of the same psychological principle in other parts of Europe and in the United States. So he felt compelled to warn the average man and woman that their personal fears and insecurities were at the root of worldwide plague of totalitarianism. So what he was trying to say, he's exposing the hard facts behind the growth of evil is directly connected to the collective will and choices of the common people. Each one of us, in whatever role we play, is responsible for that. For what he says is a society which is now becoming what he said it would be, a totalitarian nation. In other words, we say that we are bringing every generation, every couple of generations, there's a war. And we do not realize what part the average person is playing in it. And he wrote a book called Listen, Little Man. And you can read the book on Listen, Little Man, com/. You can read it for yourself, because the government in early, just before the 50s, burned 6 tons of his books. And it sort of drove him mad, because before it, previously, he had done some crazy experiments trying to understand the mind, very crazy ones. But he's a scientist. And he met with Einstein for, and spoke with him for 5 hours. He wasn't, he was a scientist, a psychologist, a psychoanalyst. But he didn't like what he was doing. He saw what was happening. His experiments were all strange. But they burned when he wrote this book. Listen, little man, you can get a copy of it free on the web.
To you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, once again. I came to America, which, and it wasn't the way it is right now, ready for, you know, despotism to take over. I came ahead, not ahead, but after a certain gentleman. His name is William Reich. And I've got to go through this again because it's important that I read this to you. And it came to me as, you know, on the email from a friend. And I read it. And then I had, well, my producers and my friends, they went and checked it all out to see what was going on. His name is William Reich. And he came in 1946 here from Germany, you see. I mean, he came actually before that, but in 1946, he wrote a book called Listen, Little Man, see. And when I read, you can go to the website and see, just go Listen, Little Man, / see, and you can read his book free. And the reason for this is because when he wrote the book, the government at that time burned 6 tons of his books. Now, you know there's something wrong. There's something right about it, but there's something wrong with burning 6 tons of books in America with freedom of speech. And they gave him a terrible name and drove him crazy. And he died in prison. It drove him crazy. And he got his medical degree in Germany. He studied psychoanalysis with Sigmund Freud. He was one of his favorite proteges in 1939, now I've got the right number here, with World War II on the horizon, he moved to the United States. And he wrote Listen, Little Man in 1946. And the book is his warning to ordinary people in all societies that they, the average man and woman, are responsible for the rapidly spreading of the social cancer of fascism. See? He observed how the middle class, that's you, and the common citizens in Germany actually welcomed their enslavement to the Nazis and saw the reappearance of the same psychological principle in other parts of Europe and in the United States. So he felt impelled to warn the average man and woman that their personal fears and insecurities were the root of the worldwide plague of totalitarianism. And I've said you are that. And I'm going to read a little bit about from his book. I want you to get his book because they thought it was crazy, and he thought he was, well, he wasn't. He had a crazy idea of trying to prove the metaphysical reasons for things. Why people go crazy, he saw it all. It's putting it in my own words. Not that they're very good, but I haven't done the whole book, but I scanned it today. And I was astonished. He got it. And you should read it, because it doesn't cost you anything to download it. All the books are burned. That was in 1946. I came to America a little time after that, started my radio program in 1960. I've been on the air 55 years, and I never heard of this person, but just a couple of days ago, I got an email, and it had this in there, this little thing that I'm reading you. And what he's exposing is the hard truth that the growth of evil in society is directly connected to the collective will and choices, such as they are, of the common people. Each one of us, in whatever role we play in society, is responsible. What our society is now, and for what it's becoming. So I decided that I am going to read a little bit of his book, if you don't mind, and ask you to go and read the book. It's very much like my book, but doesn't give the clues, but is criticizing the reader into waking up. And he says something like this, the preface. He says, listen, little man, reflects the inner turmoil of a scientist and physician who has observed the little man for many years and seen first with astonishment and then with horror what he himself does to himself, how he suffers, rebels, honors his enemies, and murders his friends. This is what he claimed to do in Germany. And how whenever he acquires power in the name of the people, he misuses it and transforms it into something more cruel than the tyranny he had previously suffered in the hands of the upper-class sadists. It was felt that the common man must learn what a scientist and psychiatrist is, a scientist and a psychiatrist, and what he, the little man, looks like to his experienced eye. He must be acquainted with a reality which alone he can conduct his ruinous cravings for authority and be told very clearly what grave responsibility he bears in everything he does, whatever he's working, loving, hating, or just talking. You don't say that, little man. They do. You don't say little man, but they do. The voice presents of the voice. Yes, let me read this again. The voice, the vice. I read voice, bad glasses. The vice presidents of greater nations, the labor leaders, the repentant sons of the bourgeoisie, the statesmen and the philosophers, they give you the future, but they ask no questions about your past. You've inherited a terrible past. Your heritage is burning diamonds in your hand. That's all I have to tell you. A doctor and a shoemaker, a mechanic, an educator has to know his shortcomings if he's going to do his work and make a living. And for several decades now, you have been taking over throughout the world. The future of the human race depends upon your thoughts and your actions. But your teachers and masters don't tell you how you really think and what you really are. No one dares to confront you with one truth that might make you unswerving master of your fate. You are free in only one respect, free from self-criticism that might help you govern your life, your own life. See, I've never heard you complain. You exalt me as the future master of myself and my world, but you don't tell me how a man can become the master of himself. You don't tell me what's wrong with me. So what's wrong with what I think I and do? What do I? Why can't you tell me this? That's what I'm emphasizing to make the point. You let the powerful demand the power for the little man, but you yourself are silent. You provide powerful men with the power or choose weak and malignant men to represent you. And then you discover too late that you're always the dope. I understand you because time and time again I've seen your naked body and soul without your mask, your political label, your national pride, naked as a newborn baby, naked as a field marshal in his underclothes. I've heard you weep and lament. You've told me your troubles, laid bare your love and yearning. I know you understand, but I'm going to tell you what you are, little man, because I really believe in your great future, because the future undoubtedly belongs to you. Take a look at yourself. See for yourself as you really are. Hear what none of your leaders and spokesmen dare to tell you. You are a little man, a common man, but consider the double meanings of the words little and common. Don't run away from this. Have courage and take a look at yourself. By what right are you lecturing me, he says. I see the question in your frightened faces. I hear it in your insolent tongue. You're afraid to look at yourself, little man, because you're afraid of criticism, afraid of the power that's promised you. You will use what you make of your power. What use will be, I'll try say it again, because it's the letter's a bit small. What use will you make of your power? You don't know. You're afraid to think that of yourself, the man you feel yourself to be might be someday be different from what it is now, free rather than coward, candid rather than scheming, capable of loving, not like a thief in the night, in the broad daylight. You despise yourself, little man. You say, who am I that you should have an opinion, govern my life, and call the world mine? You're right. You are you. To lay, who are you? There it is. When I'm speaking, for my own heart, I can do well, but I'm reading, I can't put my heart into it. But the point is, making good sense. You're right. Who are you to lay claim to your life? I will tell you, you who you are. Anyway, I'm not very good at reading this thing, but it's because I'm not good at reading my own stuff. So what I did, I've stopped reading now, but you can go to, you know, to to your computer and look up listenlittleman.com/. All right, now, what I've done, now I'm going to get back to my natural way of speaking to you. Sometimes hesitated and sometimes clear. And I don't want you to try to remember everything I'm saying, but I just want to tell you what this man is. He was put in prison. He ran from Germany and he wrote books, and 5-6 tons of books were burned. So much for free speech. And then he went crazy, and then he died in prison, I think in 1956. I had the same experience when I came to America. As long as I was doing my diamond cutting and demonstrating diamond cutting in jewelry stores, I was safe. I was very, very successful in my business. But I had a secret. And that secret is that I discovered hypnosis when I was 15 years old. And my first victim, I guess that's a good, was the friend of my mother from the First World War. And they were friends since the First World War together. And she had a headache. And she says, in your hypnotism, can you take my headache away? So I said, sure. So to my own, surprise, I was able to take her headache away. I guess it's not quite as that. I found out later that different things happened other than what I thought I saw. But what I did discover in the long run, having spent so many years in the Institute of Hypnosis in Texas. That's 6 or 7 years. I lost count. And then in a moment of happiness, I said, got it. I understand it now. And of course, I haven't heard of this person before and hadn't read his books. I just scanned it today. I was amazed. He's saying the same thing as me, except really understanding how to get out of it. But to get you to look at yourself and warn you about not looking at yourself, what it all brings. That's what that book is all about. And my book, Hypnotic States of Americans, is the book you need to buy to get out of it. So you can see what he is talking about and what I know how to show you where it is in yourself. Okay, so don't go away. Be right back. Post Office Box, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Thank you for this.
Do you ever feel like you're getting overwhelmed by your own thoughts? Scientists have now seen that thinking leads to behavior. Good thoughts lead to good behaviors. Unhappy, angry thoughts lead to bad ones. Now imagine for just one moment a safe place where you can step away from your thoughts. That's why you need to go to www.antidoteforall.com.
We're always reaching out for an answer and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
7 minutes that will change your life. This technique is being used in the military by people who have been emotionally damaged. Go to www.antidoteforall.com and make a tax-deductible donation so that we can help a veteran, an active-duty military person that you'll never meet, have a better life than they ever dreamed possible.
Hello, here I am, Roy Masters, 55 years on talk radio and still saving lives. Christmas used to mean more than mere commercial exploitation. It was a time for families to separate the spiritual majesty and mystery of Jesus Christ. Please, continue helping the Foundation of Human Understanding to keep his spirit in Christmas by simply donating $19.95 per month or whatever, and so perpetuate my all-listener-supported program. Paying It Forward plan will continue saving lives into the years to come. I'm a pioneer in helping our troops to overcome the ravages of PTSD without drugs. I've given over 500,000 copies of my life-saving techniques to our troops, and for you too if you want them. Go to FHU.com and then click on the donation page. That's FHU.com and then click on the donation page, please. Thank you.
The Foundation of Human Understanding is a 501.
Oh, okay. Could you just turn him down? Thank you very much. We could have two people on the air. Okay. So, David, you have a caller?
Yes, there's a caller on the line, Laura from California. She says that her daughter is experimenting with astral projection, and appears to be more gaining more insight than Laura, her mother, is through just using the Be Still and Know exercise. My comment to you was, well, evil has the absolute knowledge of good. Evil is one of the greatest tricks of evil is to use good in the wrong way.
That's correct.
And, you know, the knowledge of good. And by the way, the knowledge of good and evil was the thing that was warned to Adam and Eve not to ever discover. It was first
so,
good.
So actually, the question when I get, is it Laura?
Yes, Laura.
The question she needs to ask, is she learning or is she discovering?
All right, so we have Laura on the line for you.
All right, Laura, you heard our little discussion about you.
Yeah, Mr. Bessert, I hope you can understand my voice.
Yes,
it's kind of scrapey.
Mine too.
My daughter was to visit, and she was laying in her car, sleeping. And it's not something she consciously did. It all of a sudden it just happened. She started coming out of her body, a lot of energy, loud noise. And she sat down, and she said all of a sudden she was afraid. She saw that. And I personally thought that it was something. I thought it was something good because, I mean, she got to be more conscious than I did being coming out of
Slow down, please. If you go too fast, I can't remember it. I can't get
Pardon
it.
Me?
So now let me see. Start again. She was in your In a car? What was that? Start slowly.
She was nice laid down. She was sleeping in her car.
Sleeping. Why night, she, what, now, hold it. Why was she sleeping in her car?
She was visiting, and it was, she figured the house with my son was too cold, so her car had a heater, and she wanted to sleep right there, you know. That was her choice right there.
I see. But you weren't present when she had that epiphany.
I wasn't present. She just told me about it. She sort of shocked her. And when she went through it again...
My son said, what did she learn?
I asked that she seemed to be conscious, and I thought that it was like a higher consciousness than me, like being objective. I was asking, that's what I wanted to ask you, is that being a little bit more objective?
I really can't tell you that. I need to talk to her myself.
Well, I was asking that for my own personal...
Would I sound a little jealousy in there?
Oh, no. Well,
or fear, which is
jealousy, it? I just wanted to be more conscious because I thought it added to faith. You know what I mean? I go, if I could be that conscious.
Yes, but you see, the problem that you're talking about is you want to be more conscious. And
I want to know if that's real. I want to know if that's of God.
I can't tell you the real question. I can see that you have a little problem about, you know, looking for more consciousness. I know that. But you seem to be reaching for new...
I'll just add a thought.
Go ahead,
if
David.
You don't mind. But
no,
you see,
ahead.
This
go
is
ahead.
A typical outcome-based behavior of a person who does not want to do what you would call the hard work of learning to be in your center. You can't just jump from one level of consciousness to another like a video game. It doesn't work that way. Consciousness,
well, hold it right there.
Yeah.
Actually, you can.
Okay. You can.
Actually, that's the whole idea. If your heart is in it all the way, but not everybody's heart is in all the way. Sometimes it takes years before they grasp it. I have people listening to me 35 years and still don't get it. Then they suddenly, bang, they get it all of a sudden. And so, the journey of dealing, practicing the presence is slowly relieving you from the invasion of the body snatcher, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So it does take a jump, but sometimes you may not notice the jump when you meditate. You open your eyes, and something is sort of like you had an anesthetic. All of a sudden, you're different, and you see things different, and it's a little disturbing to the observer, and in this case, her mother. I'm not sure now what it is, whether it's real or not real, but the discussion is interesting.
Yeah.
See what I mean, David?
She's still here if you want to talk to her.
Yes. Did you understand, Laura, I can't really make some kind of decision unless I can hear her body language and the way she speaks.
Or not, you can't. That's what you're telling me?
I can't tell you unless she talks, unless she's interested to call me. And if she wants to call me, it would seem... appropriate if she wants to call me to check herself. It's something that she needs to want to do on her own. And you
so
might suggest it to
I
her.
Want, I'm asking you the question, but that's not a bad thing, is what I'm asking
no,
you?
No, I'm trying to say I can't tell you.
Oh, I see.
I need to speak to the person. But I hear a disturbance in you, which is necessary.
Can I bring up another subject?
I'm not sure we should have finished with this one, but go ahead.
Okay, I had to tell something to someone some time ago, not that long ago, but all of a sudden my heart started beating and I started losing voice, and it was like, I don't know what happened to me, that I was saying giving a correction and sort of giving kind of a small threat because this person was slapping my knees down, and I told him that he had to know she wasn't alone and it's not something that he could get away with, but otherwise...
David, could you do me a favor? Could you tell me what this lady is saying? she's talking. She's not. She's emotional. She's emotional. Let's get back to see if she can drop the emotion and speak more clearly. All right, you'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm sorry. I sort of was reading out of that book this morning, but I was, you know, really happy to find a person that preceded me, or preceded me, in the things I say. But he does. I look through the book, you know, and let me see the name of it. It disappeared from my computer. Okay, so it's Listen, Little Man, /.. You can get a copy of that. I do recommend you read it. It's not a big, heavy book. But remember, this person that I was referring to in the open part of the program has discovered something. He's a scientist. And, you know, is a physicist. And he came from Germany. And just quickly, just in case you just joined the program. But he wrote a book very similar to what I'm saying, but without the solution to it, but challenging people, saying he's seen that the common man, the ordinary person, the little guy, without realizing it, plays a terrible role, a dangerous role, without realizing it, to his demise, into various totalitarian escapades and states. And I have found the reason for it. And in his book, he says, little man, you're afraid to look at yourself, etc., etc., etc. And then, what are you saying? I can't tell you what's wrong with you. Don't you see I'm your friend, basically, by telling you what's wrong with you? Our forefathers said very much the same thing. It's the hardest thing you can do. The most brave thing you can do is to be honest with your friend and tell him the truth. What's wrong with him? Otherwise, what you got is people liking you for looking for, you know, to validate the excuses. And again, and if you don't have a good excuse for yourself, they'll give you one. And that makes you the friend, so to speak. But there's so much more to this. And I want to finish off with the Laura here, and because she's not making herself very clear, but she does have a point. So I'm going to play a little, you know, play with her a little bit, and we'll come back to my program. I would like you to support my program, please. Because the person that I was talking to about, the gentleman that, the gentleman who came from Germany and wrote the book in 1956, he had in that book, those books, some kind of secret which I haven't, some kind of knowledge which I know I already have. And that the freedom of speech was violated because the government at our time, that 1946, burned for 6 tons of his books. There's so much. Then he got crazy and went crazy. Apparently ended up in jail and died there. But he was a very intelligent guy, and he's saying himself, I did terrible things in my life. And then he escaped from Germany and came to America, seeing that America was going to about to happen to them. And he wrote that book, and then came the people to pick up his books and burn them in America. And bad things have been said about them, but that's only the media. And the media has been after me, but hasn't destroyed me as it destroyed him. Okay, so please support my work. Thank you.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yeah, before I go back to Laura, I want you to know that Alan was doing a show for me because I had to have a procedure. And that was, you know, Sunday, week ago, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that. And his program played up, but I couldn't do it because I had a procedure in the hospital. So if you want to know what it is, all you have to do is ask me. I just came straight home, just anyway. It was kidney stones, that's all, or bladder stones. They've been there for years and years and years. So there we are. So not such a big deal. But this Sunday, I did a program which reflects the listen, little guy, listen, little man story that I was talking to you about. It reflects that because I'm making the same argument. It's the common man. The democratical, democratical is such a word, democrat, but democrat. Is the tendency is to be democratic, is to be too lenient to your enemies. And it doesn't take much of a push behind that, which seems to be so Christian. It seems to be Christian that could actually make us a friend of the enemy. Love your enemy, then you got Jesus saying, "Love your enemy." See, and he does, I don't know what else he said. Love your enemy, but loving your enemy and turn the other cheek doesn't mean what it means in our modern English. Really, it's really this: it's love. Don't hate your enemy. See, love prevents you from hating. It's simple. Real love, if you have real love, you can't get upset. You just can't. Literally cannot. Because love is in you, you can't hate your adversary. Now, just go a little deeper into it, which you will see on the Sunday morning program. I'm sorry. The Sunday morning program that is a very important to you with respect to this gentleman, Mr. Reich, the psychologist I was talking about that came from Germany and tried to warn America about the Ku Klux Klan. He said all these things would happen, but it wasn't the Ku Klux Klan, it's on the left. And the media did a terrible job on him and drove him crazy. I can guarantee you they did that to me. It's been 50 years, but I'm not crazy. I'm still here, I'm stronger. I don't hate my enemy. So if I don't hate my enemy can't get to my head. But when you hate your enemies, just let me make a point. So when you love your enemy, you're not really loving him. Kiss, 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 cuddle, 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 cuddle. No, it's love. Don't hate your friend. Look, I'll give you a simple answer. A simple thing. So your children are good, so you want to be nice to them. Oh, Dad, thank you, Daddy. This is nice. Let's assume it's nice, and you're not weak, but let's assume it is nice. And let's assume it is love, and it may not be. Because it may be you want to give your love to the kids so the kids will love you back, which is no good. To love those who love you, what profit is there in that? You're wanting something back from the kids. You're not you're obligating the kids to love you and making them codependent in secretly hating you. Or thinking they're loving you when they don't, when they're really a slave of you. These are simple things. But hardly anybody ever knows it. That we're robbing each other, we're robbing a freedom from each other. And somebody will rob the freedom from you or from me to if the media get together and call Roy Masters this and that and is try to destroy his network and all the rest of it, which he succeeded in doing to some degree. We're on our way back. But I don't get bothered by it. It is what it is. I know that the whole idea of the media coming down on me or anybody else will drive a person crazy. They want to get even, get angry, but the point is the anger will only get stuck inside you, and the more you get angry, the sicker you get, the more angry you need to control the anger, and all it does is refeeds itself. The more angry you are, the more sick you get, the sicker you get, the more angry you get. You get very angry to make yourself a better person or live and decide you're going to be a real bad person if you're going to do it right. You start to be one of them. You always struggle with being one of them, but if you struggle, you become one of them, or you become an appeaser to one of them. And that's all you are. I mean, you have no freedom, but you don't know you have no freedom. You're too busy struggling with yourself and losing and struggling again and try to make yourself a better person, but you don't know what good is. So how, you have an idea what good is, but it's not just, it's just a noise in your head where you went to church, or you go to the rabbi and ask him what good is, and it's all verses and chapters. But what I'm talking about deep down inside is that which David just brought up a few moments ago. You've been forgiven from the beginning of life, and repentance is waiting for you. Salvation is waiting for you. And all you need is to see your faults. But there's something dark inside you that prevents you from seeing those faults. And you see, but it seems like it's you. It seems like you wanting to be a better person and be afraid of looking at your thoughts. Because you actually believe, which is not true, that those thoughts are yours, and you're responsible for those thoughts. The more you try, the worse you get. Because the secret is that your thoughts aren't yours. They never have been. So there's a difference between a scientist who sort of discovers everything for himself. He doesn't learn it. He says, I recognize this, so I don't have to memorize it. If I recognize it, it's awakening. See? And so, if you're going to be a person who's going to learn, you don't want to learn verse and chapter. You can be exposed to the information, and some people get it so easily, while other people are struggling to put it in their head and having all kinds of fits of emotions and fears and anxiety, because something about learning good or learning good, learning evil is bad, obviously, but learning in an intellectual fashion is just as dangerous. The knowledge of good, to remember it and to get a degree on it and to feel the pressure of your teacher or of your professor and just wait and having to go along with him to jump through the hoop to make sure that you get your degree. All you want is your degree so you can pound on your chest like a gorilla. Oh, see, great me. See, but there's a kind of person who recognizes what he sees, what he's given, and the recognition is an epiphany. And the epiphany has nothing to do with intellectuals. You don't have to have a brain to remember that. You have the awakening. And the awakening continues with a presentation of false and true. So you're always presented with false and true. And if you do not have intuition, Jesus says something about that. He says, of the scribes and Pharisees, I keep mentioning the same thing, so it makes a point. He says, you see with your eyeballs, and you don't perceive. And there's a missing light. One light, the perceptive light, shines on the thing as a ray of sun outward from your eyes and from your body language. And that's what the seminar on Sunday, which will be after the show tonight, established. It'll be talking to you all about that and showing you the dark side of the force, making a demonstration of it. So it's not good for your young people to listen to this, to little kids to see it. It's scary. So what I'm trying to say is learning is dangerous. But recognizing what is held up to you is valuable. It's validating what you already know. And what you already know is able to recognize what is already there. And it reinforces and makes you trust it. Oh, that's it. I see that. I kind of seen that before, but not quite as clear as that. Thank you. An epiphany. It means you're connected to your each time that happens is worth 1,000 words, 100,000 words. It is an awakening to something you lost as a little child when you came into the innocent child when you came into the world. And that's an epiphany. An epiphany is worth billions of words because it comes from the Creator. He gives you to see, it shines on the truth, and especially when you first begin and you start to see where what you otherwise would not want to see, you bury or blame somebody and project on somebody and judge somebody, so you could stay ahead of the judgment on yourself, so judgment has become an opiate. So you see that. I know I'm jumping away from the caller, but I couldn't help carried away here, because after the program, after this, the 9 o'clock this evening, which is Monday, what's the date? Monday 2nd, yes, is the day the 30th? Oh, that's good. Thank you. 30th December, September. Is that right? Yes, right. Yeah, November, December. That's right. Anyway, you got it. You got it from David, not from me. So after this, Alan's part disappears, I reappear, and if you want to stay up late at night to watch this 2-hour video, I highly recommend it, because it deals with all the subject matter I've just said, the awakening. You are not in control of your life, but political forces are being evil, ensconced in the minds of wicked people who look like friends and know, understand, think they understand, they can give you freedom and stand up for you, for your rights and all the rest, as if you couldn't stand up for yourself. If you could stand up for yourself, you wouldn't need anybody to stand up. If you stood up all together, you wouldn't be doing it, teaching each other. You'd all be singing the same light, seeing the same light of evil. You'd all seem the same good, which is good. You'd all see the evil, which is evil. But then there are people who don't want to see it, and they hate you for it. And you may be one of them for a while. Because I ask you, are you angry with me as I speak to thee? If you are, watch the reaction and see what I just told you about yourself. See what I just told you about yourself, being angry about what I'm saying, not having the courage to call me. Everybody back.
Do you ever feel like you're getting overwhelmed by your own thoughts? Scientists have now seen that thinking leads to behavior. Good thoughts lead to good behaviors. Unhappy, angry thoughts lead to bad ones. Now imagine for just one moment a safe place where you can step away from your thoughts. That's why you need to go to www.antidoteforall.com.
We're always reaching out for an answer, and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
7 minutes that will change your life. This technique is being used in the military by people who have been emotionally damaged. Go to www.antidoteforall.com and make a tax-deductible donation so that we can help a veteran, an active-duty military person that you'll never meet, have a better life than they ever dreamed possible.
Hello, here I am, Roy Masters, 55 years on talk radio and still saving lives. Christmas used to mean more than mere commercial exploitation. It was a time for families to separate the spiritual majesty and mystery of Jesus Christ. Please continue helping the Foundation of Human Understanding to keep his spirit in Christmas by simply donating $19.95 per month or whatever, and so perpetuate my all-listener-supported program. Paying It Forward plan will continue saving lives into the years to come. I'm a pioneer in helping our troops to overcome the ravages of PTSD without drugs. I've given over 500,000 copies of my life-saving techniques to our troops, and for you too if you want them. Go to FHU.com and then click on the donation page. That's FHU.com and then click on the donation page, please. Thank you.
The Foundation of Human Understanding is a 501c3 church.
Okay. Ready? Oh, I'm live again. So let's go back to Laura. Have you made heads or tails about what she's trying to say, David? Is she there? She's gone.
Hello?
Oh? Hello? Now, I still don't know. You asked the question. I still know what to tell you. I need to talk to your daughter.
Okay, Mr. Messerschmitt, I didn't know I was so emotional. I thought I had a calmness to me, and I'm glad
No, you didn't. I think you got a problem, and that's what makes your daughter smarter than you, even if she isn't.
That's okay. I was happy for her, really.
You can't be happy.
Because I was wanting her to be, you know, in other words, I've been meditating when I wanted her to be conscious, and I was
You are just too emotional.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I would try to say in the words of another person who suffered and died before me and wrote books, and where the government burned 6 tons of his books. And it is, his book is called Listen, Little Man, and you can go on the website, listenlittleman.com/, and you go on the website and get a copy of his book. Because, you know, he couldn't sell them, and since they were burned, 6 tons of them. And he had something to say. And the media clearly made him look like a devil, as they did with me for 50 years. Except the difference between me, I don't go crazy. I would drive them crazy. And I'd like to see them come at me again, but they're a little bit more cautious this time. I've grown stronger. I've had a difficult life. I've grown stronger. Trials and tribulations make me stronger. I look forward to a fight I never started. I always win. Not because of me, the wrought masters, because the spirit in me is the obedience to how you deal with life. See, love, don't hate your enemy, as I said before, see, is the way I give a change to the meaning of love. Love, don't hate. And I tried to say it before that and missed my opportunity, so let me say, if you think you love your kids, let's say it isn't love, the chances are it isn't. 99% it isn't. But let's call it love. And if they don't do what your love requests of them, if they don't appreciate your love, you're not appreciative of it, so they take it and then I'll become naughty, and you kind of spoil them, and they feel a little power, you see. They have contempt for your need for them, all kinds of little things that you could say to make the point a little stronger or maybe weaker, depending on who's listening. But let's say you like your kids and you give them a present, and you think that's love, right? It may not be love. It may be induce in them a feeling of obligation. And unconsciously, you've put it there because you want to be loved back, see, which is unhealthy. It's not free. You're not free. And if they don't give you love back, you get resentful, seek inside. See, that's what happens. You're not getting see where I'm going with this, I hope. But the point is, let's say they are naughty. Do you hate your kids? If you love them, then if they're naughty, how do you deal with that? You'd have to do the opposite. You'll have to love them, but make them worse instead of agree with them, go along. So that's one mistake you could make. You feel like you've done something wrong because you didn't love enough. And that's one of the psychologies that you don't understand about yourself. and one of which you can be manipulated by that. You could be manipulated by that process I just mentioned. But let me say, again, just to make my point about love. Do you hate your kids? If you love them and give them something and they don't appreciate it and they are naughty, the opposite, do you hate them or do you still love them? Well, if you still love them the same way as you gave it to them, you're going to be manipulated for the rest of your life by everybody, even your kids. So what is this? What is going to replace the hate? Here it is. Love, don't hate your enemy. Now look at this, how I said it. Love is, don't hate. Don't resent. Don't be annoyed. Don't be irritated. Aggravated. See, that's all. Now, how do you find that? It has to be a gift that lifts you out of subjectivity to the world around you. Your kids, your adversaries. That's what love is. Not, in other words, how do I describe it? Love is free. You don't have to love me back. You don't have to send a donation. It's just good for you if it did. I'm just saying this. It's wise. Because if I have really helped you, you have to appreciate the person who's donated whatever it is, whatever part of my program it is, by many of people doing this, so they're all heaped together, all the money coming to one place and paying my bills. And so therefore you come across my program, and if you get better, it's because someone paid it forward. Someone saying, thank you. Here's some money, help somebody else. And then if a person does that and forgets it, that's his loss. I'm not asking you to join or belong anything. I'm asking you don't have to ever listen to me again, but just can you keep playing it forward, say, you know, $19.95 a month or whatever it is. And you can go to my website and go to fhu.com/donate. And you can do that online. Or you can write to the post office box, Foundation of Human Understanding, post office box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Okay? 1000, box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. A Christmas is coming, and the end of the world is coming if we're not careful. And as it says in the Bible, the end times will represent that no man shall survive, no one will survive except God intervene. And right now in America, you could all stand up and see your president for what he is. And after the radio program here this evening at 9 o'clock this evening, West Coast time, the video will be playing all the way to next Sunday, tonight. Okay. And we'll be right back. Okay. All right. My dear friends, I didn't finish my pitch, if you don't mind me saying so. I'm dependent on your grace. I don't want to put pressure on you, but I do want to remind you that if I help you, I'm a physician, I'm a doctor, whatever I am, I'm helping you, but I'm not going to send you a bill. So much better if you're gracious. It's love coming from your heart, so others might live as you found life.